Good morning.
Good morning.
It is good to be here this morning. It's good to see everyone. Yesterday was a blessing to be a part of. It was a blessing that we could be able to, just spend a moment in the community and out in the community. You know, we've been talking about being prepared. You know, Jesus said that when he comes, it's going to be like a thief in the night. No one knows. Now, there are people, we've talked about this, there are people who are out there that have set dates for his return, but it's not possible. We won't know that. And so as children of God, we have to be prepared. And in order to be prepared, we have to watch. We have to be ready. Last week, we talked about letting other people see Jesus. How we do that? We do that by how we live our lives. We do that by, as we looked at 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, by growing in our knowledge of him. We have to do things, and there's not really any excuses for it. We have to, you know, there's not going to be anyone on that day that says, well, you know, I never knew that I was supposed to do that. There's not going to be any excuses. This morning, we're going to be looking at, again, the book of Matthew, chapter 16. And so if you have your Bibles handy, be turning there. We're going to talk about a specific event or conversation that Jesus had. And we need to know more about him. We need to know exactly what to be able to tell people when they ask about Jesus. And so, beginning at verse 13, let's go ahead and let's read this. Matthew chapter 16, verse 13. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" So they said, "Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." Verse 19. "And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he commanded his disciples that they should tell no one that he was Jesus the Christ. This is perhaps a very important text. And one that obviously points out a little bit about the identity of Jesus. We probably looked at this, and I know I have. I've studied different texts throughout the scriptures over and over and over again. And then you'll get to one, you're like, I never saw that before. Have you ever done that? It happens. And I think it's just the way that we're growing in our faith. I think it's the way that we, you know, it's just like, okay, one day it opens up a little bit more. Or maybe we needed to have another piece of knowledge from the scriptures to help us understand this piece of knowledge. And then everything starts tying together. You know, during that 3+ years that Jesus was man, was in that ministry with the apostles, there was a lot of confusion about who he was. And I know that throughout our studies, we could even see that even the disciples were confused at various different points about who Jesus was. And so Jesus comes out and he asks his disciples, well, you know, what are people saying about me? What are people saying? The disciples bring out that there's several different views. They said, well, you know, some think you're John the Baptist. Well, this isn't anything new. If you look back at chapter 14, verses 1 and 2, we see there that Herod heard the report about Jesus and said to his servants, this is John the Baptist. He has risen from the dead, and therefore these powers are at work in him. So Herod believed that Jesus was John the Baptist. And apparently there were others that believed the same thing. But this could have all been averted. It could have been all avoided if they had just listened to what John had said in John chapter 1, beginning at verse 29 and following. When Jesus was walking towards John the Baptist, this was read a while ago, what did he say? Behold, the Son of the living God who comes and takes away the sins of the world. That's Jesus. Jesus is God's Son. His purpose was to come and to save man from their sins. And if they would just listen, which I'm pretty sure this isn't the only time where it was said. So those that thought that Jesus was John were mistaken. Others thought that Jesus was Elijah. Now, who's Elijah? You go all the way back into the Old Testament, and Elijah was known as a great prophet. In 1 Kings chapter 18, Elijah, one of the most well-known passages, took on the 450 prophets of Baal. And I call it the battle at Mount Carmel. And so in that battle, it was proved that the prophets of Baal, their gods, were false. And at the end, he ushered them all down and executed them. And so people that thought that Jesus was Elijah, think they had any standing? Well, in Malachi chapter 4, this is the very last book in the Old Testament. The very last book. So right before Matthew in the New Testament, you have Malachi. It's a small four-chapter book. The last two verses of Malachi, I want you to notice what Malachi says. Malachi, being a prophet, says, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. So we're talking many, 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 many years before we're at in Matthew chapter 16. And we're talking many, 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 many years after Elijah had lived, died. Well, actually didn't die. God took him. But here in Malachi, it was prophesied that Elijah would come back. Perhaps people thought that Jesus was going to be a fulfillment of that prophecy. What do you think? Well, let's look at Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, beginning in verse 11. You know, one of the things about the Bible, it tells you what it's talking about. Matthew chapter 11, verse 11. Assuredly, I say to you, among those born of women, there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist. This is Jesus talking. But he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. Now listen what he says in verse 14. And if you are willing to receive it, he is Elijah who is to come. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Jesus points out, hey, John the Baptist is the Elijah that was prophesied of coming back in Malachi chapter 4. He is that Elijah. Those that thought Jesus was Elijah were mistaken. Then it said in back in Matthew chapter 16 that some say, Jesus, that you're Jeremiah or one of the other prophets. Well, another prophecy going all the way back to Deuteronomy chapter 18. You can turn there if you want, or I'll just read it. A great prophet would come. Deuteronomy 18, beginning at verse 18. Says, I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brethren. And I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. And it shall be that whoever will not hear my words, which he speaks in my name, I will require it of him. So we're talking about not anyone really named, but he said he's going to raise up a prophet. So turn with me to the book of Acts. Let's see who fits this picture. Acts chapter 3. So in Acts chapter 3, we'll come back and we'll talk about chapter 2, how it fits in there. But in chapter 3, Peter, John, they just healed a lame man. And it says there that they were all hanging out on Solomon's portico, or the porch of Solomon, which is in the temple. And the people were greatly amazed. And so Peter turns to them and says, why are you amazed at this? Or why do you look so intently at us? This is verse 12. As though we by our own power or godliness made this man walk. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate, who was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just and asked for a murderer to be granted to you. And killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses. And we'll just pause there. So he's talking about Jesus' death, burial, resurrection, the gospel. When we look at the book of Acts, we see that. They're talking, when they preach Jesus, they preach his death, burial, and resurrection. The fact that death could not hold him. He goes on to say, verse 16, and his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. So it's because of Jesus. Verse 17, yet now, brethren, I know that you did it in ignorance, as did also your rulers. But those things which God foretold by the mouth of his prophets, all his prophets, that the Christ would suffer, he has thus fulfilled. Repent and therefore be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Verse 22, for Moses truly said to the fathers, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. Him you shall hear in all things, whatever he says to you, and it shall be that every soul who will not hear that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people. So in this sermon, that connects that Jesus was that prophet. This was the prophet that Moses spoke about. So others thought that Jesus was Jeremiah or just another prophet. Jesus was not Jeremiah or one of the prophets. He was the prophet. He was the one who was to come into the world, who through him all the nations would be judged. So with all the confusion, who is he? We might wonder if we can identify him. When we look at the scriptures, though, we know that we can, because in John chapter 5, verse 39, Jesus, referring to the scribes and the Pharisees, talking about, you know, you search the scriptures. They look through all the scriptures, and it says, "For in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me." So when you look at the scriptures, when you look at what the Bible says, that's what tells us who Jesus is. And especially studying in the book of John, I like studying the book of John because John points it out. Jesus brings it out, the fact that he is, in fact, God. He is I am. So we can know. But let's turn our attention to some of those statements that Jesus makes that are made within the context. Notice that Jesus refers to himself as the Son of Man. And I remember years ago in my studies often wondering, well, what in the world is that referring to? Because you hear other people say it. You hear Jesus say it. So what does it mean? And Jesus used it to describe himself. Well, if you think about it, looking back to John chapter 1. In John chapter 1, the beginning was the Word. The Word was God, right? Who's with God. In verse 14, it says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." Talking about Jesus. "We beheld his glory, glory of his only begotten, full of grace and truth." Even though Jesus was God, even though he was divine, he became man. He became human. He became flesh. He is the Son of Man. Now, the Bible teaches us, look over Hebrews chapter 2. It teaches us why Jesus had to become flesh. Hebrews chapter 2. There we go. Let's go to verse 14. Hebrews 2, verse 14. "Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself," talking about Jesus, "likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death," that is, the devil, "and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For indeed he does not give aid to angels, but he does give aid to the seed of Abraham. Therefore," verse 17, "in all things he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted." The fact that Jesus lived on earth as a man qualifies him to serve as a mediator. It qualifies him to serve as a high priest of his followers. You think about that. He had to experience life. He had to experience all the temptations. He had to go through all the afflictions that happen in life so that he could say, "You know what? I've been there. You're forgiven." Jesus is the Son of Man. Peter in verse 16 says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." So at the same time Jesus was human, he was divinity. He was God. And if you think back to all the illustrations, all the, the runnings in that Jesus had with various different people who would come to him with diseases and all sorts of different ailments, and Jesus would heal them. Or the times where Jesus would come and he showed that he had power over nature. I mean, they're on the sea, the winds, they're about to die, and Jesus says, stop. And it stops. Or the fact when they're out on the sea and, you know, Peter, the apostles are all terrified, and Peter says, Lord, if it's you, just tell me to come out there, and I'll come out there. So Jesus calls him out there. What's Peter do? Walks on the water. It wasn't Peter's power causing him to walk on the water. It was Jesus. His looking at the waves and the wind and everything that was going around, which caused him to sink. But Jesus saved him. Talk about Lazarus being risen from the dead. Tell me that doesn't say who he is. Again and again and again. Could you imagine being one of those hand-picked few? Walking, following him around. I mean, I would have been walking around with my mouth open wide because I'm like, what in the world? I mean, there's no doubt in my mind that I'd been like, this is the guy. He is the Christ. Through all of those instances, God was revealing to Peter. God was revealing to his apostles who Jesus was and the fact that he was God's son. And by going back through and reading the scriptures and studying from the scriptures, we can examine the evidence and come to the same conclusion. You remember what John chapter 20, verse 30 and 31 says? John writes, "In these things, and truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name." It was written for that purpose. We can know, we can see, we can come to the point and identify Jesus as God's Son. But in addition to him being the Son of Man and the Son of God, going back to Matthew chapter 16, we also see there in verse 18 that Jesus is the builder of his church. Let me get back there. So Jesus says in verse 17, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, Simon son of John, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." So now there's lots of talk on what Jesus means in saying that you are Peter, on this rock I will build my church. There is a denomination, there is a religion out there who believes that this basically makes Peter the first pope, gives him all the power, and that power was handed down. I'm not going to say anything about any who that is. You can draw your own conclusions. There's also the teaching that this is referring to Jesus himself, and that he is the one that's going to set up his church, or that upon him. There's a lot of reading through that one kind of confuses you. But the fact of it, if you look at it, he says, on this rock I will build my church. There's a play on words there. Don't get me wrong. But what rock? The rock that he's talking about is foundation. Based upon Jesus being Christ, based upon Jesus being the Son of God, he says, I'm going to build my church. Not necessarily based on what Peter said, specifically the fact that he talked, or that he was the one to speak, but the topic of what he spoke. On the day of Pentecost, in Acts chapter 2. Okay, I always like to put this out there, because you see Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we call them the Gospels. That was the, they all record the gospel, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus, just from different viewpoints. They end with the fact of Jesus dying and being resurrected. In the book of Acts, it picks up from that, and then it shows the apostles doing what Jesus told them to do. And so that's why the book of Acts is very good for studying of how, you know, what do I need to do to become or be a Christian? How to become a Christian? Acts chapter 2. The apostles are standing up there, and the Holy Spirit comes on them, different than what we understand as the Holy Spirit. But it comes on them, and they speak in a different language. And in Acts chapter 2, it tells us what languages are there. And so they're speaking in different languages. That's what a tongue is. And it's a known language. It's a language that can be interpreted. It's like me learning Spanish in a snap and absolutely being able to conversate with someone. That's what type of miracle this was. The language that they spoke, they didn't know. They were Galileans. That's why when you look through that context, it says these guys are Galileans, and yet we're hearing them in our own language. What did they hear? Well, what they heard, if you look at Acts chapter 2, they preached the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus and pointed it to those people that were there and said, you killed him. You put him on the cross. And they were so impacted by it, by what they say. What shall we do? They had realized that they had a part in killing Jesus. It's the same thing that we all have to realize. We had a part. As men, as humans, our sins were put on Jesus. That's our guilt. And it was on that day, if you continue looking at Acts chapter 2, 3,000 were baptized. Peter said, repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And 3,000 obeyed. They were baptized for the forgiveness of their sins. And if you continue down to verse 41 and 47, it says they were added to them, or some translations actually say the church. They became a group of believers who believed that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, who came, was buried, was killed, was buried, and resurrected on the third day, never to die again. Who promises that his followers, those of us who follow him, who believe that, who do his will, he promised that on the day he returns, we too will be resurrected. We can be members of that same church by looking, by reading, by studying the scriptures and learning about who Jesus is. He's not some embodiment of some great person from the past. He's not Elijah. He's not John the Baptist. He's not Jeremiah. He's not in. He is the Son of Man. He is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and he is the builder of his church. And then he ends, as we see Jesus often telling them, don't talk about that. Why? Why not, Jesus? Why not tell the whole world who you are? We learn from studying Scripture, especially when you study John. John brings us out that Jesus had what we call a divine timetable. He would say time and time again, my time has not yet come. And so it wasn't his time. There later became a time, if you look all the way at the end of Matthew, Matthew chapter 28, notice what Jesus says. This is after his death, after his burial, after his resurrection. He's talking with the apostles. Matthew chapter 28. Verse 18. Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So there was a time where Jesus said, keep that to yourself. Even to some people that he healed, he would tell them, don't tell anyone. Or he would say, go show yourself to the priest. He wants us to bring others to him. He wants us to help others see him. This is an important piece of being a child of God. Telling people about what he's done for you. It's not necessarily that you have to know everything, but you know who he is. And so what you have to do is show other people who he is. They have to make that choice. They have to see him. So before we can do that, we have to know him ourselves. And so part of being prepared, part of being ready for him, part of being the one, you know, the one who, when Jesus comes back and we can go back and be at home with him and say, hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the kingdom. That's what we want to hear. So the goal of this lesson is to help us to understand how important it is to study, how important it is to meditate on his word, so that we can grow in our knowledge of who Jesus is. So that we can tell the world, we can scream it from the rooftops, that Jesus is our soul. He is the only way that we can be saved from our sins. There's not another man. There's not another person. There's not another individual. There's not another organization that can do it. It's him. So the invitation this morning, if you need prayers, maybe you would like to learn more about what it means to be a Christian, how you could be more pleasing to God. We all need prayers. Whatever the need is, come now as we stand and sing the song of invitation.